Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
You see, that's an amazing thing here, what he's talking about here. You got to believe that Jesus Christ is who he is if you ever want to get off the right exit. You got to be careful with this. So many people say, oh, I believe Jesus was a great prophet. I believe Jesus is a wonderful philosopher. I believe Jesus was a good teacher. I believe Jesus was a moral example. That won't get you off the right exit. That'll get you off the wrong exit.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
Over the years, I could tell you that there's one thing that I've learned when driving cross-country on our nation's interstate system. Don't miss your exit. I remember years ago, we were driving from Pittsburgh to Dallas, and we came into St. Louis on Interstate 70, and we wanted to go on to Tulsa and then make our way to Dallas. And all my instincts were wrong. If you stay on 70, it appears like you're moving northwest, but you don't end up in Tulsa. You end up in Kansas City. And so if you go further west on US 64, that seems better than going northwest, but 64 goes up to 70 and you end up in Kansas City. So if you go north, which seems wrong, you end up in a loop, and you end up on 55 going south, and you end up in Memphis. And so in order to get to Tulsa, you've got to go on Route 44. Now, the problem with that is that as soon as you get into St. Louis, you have to get in the far left lane, and you have to exit. When you exit, you have to immediately then get on another interstate and move four lanes over to the right lane. As soon as you get over there, you exit again. And then you get on 44, and then you end up in Tulsa, and eventually Dallas. Now, you don't want to miss your exit, because if you do, you end up going somewhere that you don't want to go. That's what it's like living your life. You travel down the road of life, and I don't want to shock you, but all of you are going to eventually exit. And where is it we want to go? Not Dallas. Heaven. We want to, at the end of this experience, on this road of life, we want to exit. And we want to go to heaven. The problem is that when you go through life, it's a lot like going through St. Louis. You can get really confused and find yourself taking the wrong exit. And then you end up going somewhere you don't want to go at all. Jesus Christ had an encounter with a group of men who were clearly on the road to take the wrong exit. And he decided to warn them, and he decided to invite them to take the right exit. Some of them did, but many of them ignored him. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. And we're going to pick it up in verse 21. John 8 is an interesting chapter because it begins with the story of the woman who was caught in adultery. And I personally don't believe that that story should be placed in John 8, the first 11 verses. And the reason I say that is I believe that story happened. But first of all, most of the old manuscripts and all of the oldest manuscripts do not have that account. And if you look at the context of these 11 verses, whenever it comes to the end of chapter 7 and verse 52, they answered and they said to him, "You are not also from Galilee, are you? Search and see, there are no prophets arising out of Galilee." And then you pick it up in verse 12, Jesus again spoke and said to them, "I am the light of the world." You see, it follows the story. It follows their dialogue. They are in a mocking dialogue with Jesus Christ. And he says, "I am the light of the world," in verse 12, "and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, what's interesting about that is Jesus is giving it right back to them. And in verse 19, he says, "You know neither me nor my Father." He said, "If you knew me, you'd know my Father also." The Jews of that day kept saying to Jesus Christ, "We follow the Father. The Father is the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but we don't follow you at all. We love the Father, but we hate you." And Jesus said, "You couldn't possibly know the Father. Because if you knew the Father, you'd know me. And if you love the Father, you love me." And of course, they didn't. So Jesus is going back and forth for a chapter and a half with them. And in verse 21, he gives them the first warning. And in that first warning, he's telling them some really dire and consequential words. He said to them again, "I go away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come." Just try to get a sense of how sobering that is. He says, "You will die in your sin." He said, "Now I know that you're going to want to come where I'm going, because I'm going to heaven. I'm going back to the Father, but you're not. You see, I'm going to exit. It's going to say heaven right there, and I'm going off that exit. You're going to take another exit, and it's not going to be heaven." Incredibly sobering words. And he gives us four reasons implicitly in this text of why people take the wrong exit and why these men are taking the wrong exit. Four ways to miss heaven. Four ways to take the wrong exit. And the first one is, you can miss heaven by being self-righteous. You can miss heaven by being self-righteous. It shows up in verse 22. "So the Jews were saying, 'Surely he will not kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I am going, you cannot come.'" Now you have to understand the context, who they are. Look, they say, "We know we're going to heaven. I mean, we're Abraham's children. We're gone. So they can't be going to heaven. So I know what's going on here. This guy is going to kill himself." And if you understand Judaism in the day of Christ, they believed that the worst possible sin, other than pure blasphemy of God, was suicide. That it was a different kind of sin than any other sin. And by the way, for the last 2,000 years, there are many in Christendom that believe the same thing, that suicide is some kind of special sin. And they believed it in that day. In fact, Josephus, the great historian, he wrote this, "The darkest pit of Hades is reserved for those who commit suicide." And so they're mocking Jesus. They said, "Look, we know who we are. We know how righteous we are. What are you going to do? Kill yourself? End up in Hades? And we won't be able to follow you." They suffered from self-righteousness. This isn't the only place, of course. Remember in Luke 18, the Pharisee, he was beating his breast and saying, here's his prayer, "God, I thank you that I'm not like all these people, sinners, disgusting, that I am a righteous man." That was his prayer. And he said he could prove it because he said, "I fast twice a week." and I tithe everything I get. In other words, there's two kinds of self-righteousness: religious self-righteousness and moral self-righteousness. And both of them will never get you off the right exit. You see, and both of them have a real problem. You see, how religious is religious enough in order to get heaven? How moral is moral enough? How? You see, to go back into philosophy for a moment, this is the argument reductio ad absurdum. In other words, you take the ad absurdum argument and you say, well, this doesn't make any sense. Let's just take religious activities. How religious does it take you have to be to go to heaven? Well, do you need to have 1,000 religious acts in your life? Will that get you there? If you say, yeah, then I'll say, what about 999? And you'll say, of course. And I'll say 749. And you'll say, yeah, I think so. I'll say 410. You say, well, probably. 211, I'm not sure. But likely. 106, I don't think so. 9, no, definitely not. Okay, so the argument would be then 106, say, will get you in, and 105 keeps you out. That's absurdum. That makes no sense. Think about it from a moral point of view. How moral, and by the way, more people in our culture are morally self-righteous than religiously self-righteous. I find out all the time, you share Jesus Christ with someone, and here's inevitably what they'll tell you. I think I'm going to be okay. I think I'm going to be fine. I mean, I'm not a really bad person. I'm a pretty good person. And I think God will grade on the curve. And I'm in. I think I'll be all right. That's self-righteousness. It's the same argument. You see, we don't see it that way because somehow in our mind, when it comes to moralism, it's an easy thing to see, but we use the wrong analogy. Look, I agree. If you're comparing your meemaw to Jack the Ripper, all right, you could say, well, my meemaw was really a sweet lady. But Jack the Ripper, I mean, he has books and movies made about him. He's a terrible man. Okay, but how about comparing your brother-in-law to your neighbor? Gets a little foggier there. You see, how moral is moral? How moral is moral enough? Do I need to have 500 moral acts in my life? 500 puts me in. Where does 499 put me? You see, it's the same argument, ad absurdum. All of a sudden, you're stuck with this idea that one single religious act or one single moral act make you right with God, and one less makes you wrong with God. That's ridiculous. It's not possible. Yet we have that capacity. Now, the Bible solves all this, by the way. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote this: there are none righteous, not even one. Okay, so he makes it as clear as possible. But the problem for the people who are religiously self-righteous or morally, they believe it differently. See, they see this differently. And so consequently, they believe they're going to be just fine. And Jesus is way off. Maybe he's going to commit suicide. He's going somewhere we wouldn't want to go anyway. Well, there's a second way you can miss heaven or get off at the wrong exit. Jesus says to them in verse 23, he says, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Notice he then says, therefore, you're going to die in your sins. Wow. Jesus says here, not only would you miss heaven by being self-righteous, but you'll miss heaven when you put confidence in this world. You see, the solution to mankind getting to heaven, getting off on the right exit, is not found in this world. There's no solution in this world. The solution has to come from above. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son. From where? From there. You see, the idea of it is, Jesus says, look, the solution for man's not in this world. You're in this world. You believe in the systems of this world, but I'm not in this world. I'm not of this world. I'm from the outside. Now, understand how this can show up in so many ways, but think about it. Think of how many religions there have been since the fall in the garden. from the Tower of Babel 1, how many religions have there been in the world? Thousands. And where do they originate from? This world. And the prince of this world. They originate here. Man has all kinds of ideologies that he believes is going to make him fine. But they don't. You see, Jesus said, that's the problem. You are of this world. In fact, in Luke 16, Jesus calls them the sons of this age or system. Now, when Jesus says world, he doesn't mean globe. He doesn't mean earth. What he means really here is the system, cosmos, sometimes described as cosmos diabolicus. Cosmos, as I've said many times in the past, the root word for the word cosmetic. In other words, it's the arranged system. You ladies know about this. You probably arranged yourself today. That's what happens. You stand in front of a mirror, you've got a whole pile of things there, and you start working. And for some of you, it's miraculous. I agree. I mean, I'm not... It's amazing how much you can do. But that won't get you to heaven. You see, it's the cosmos, the system. We talk about, don't we talk about the world of music, the world of medicine, the world of sports, the world of business? When we say that, we mean the system. And that's what Jesus is talking about. And understand, their religious system was so bad that when their own Messiah showed up and God incarnate showed up, they missed him. They didn't even know it was him. And yet they were devoted to their system. They believed their system with all their heart. And yet God shows up and they don't even know who he is. And Jesus says, you're going to miss heaven by putting your confidence in this world. Thirdly, therefore I said to you, you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Notice I didn't read the word he because it's not in the text. The word he is in italics in an English Bible. The translators thought that would help, but I don't think it helps at all. He says, unless you believe that I am, you will miss heaven when you won't or don't believe in Jesus Christ. And it's going to be specific. He said, unless you believe that I am. In Greek, it was ego eimi. He said, unless you believe, ego eimi, I am. But I don't think he said it in Greek. I think he said it in Hebrew. He said this, unless you believe Yahweh, I am Yahweh. The Hebrew tetragrammaton, I am that I am. Moses asked him, remember back in Exodus 3, who am I going to tell them sent me? And God said, you tell them, I am that I am sent you. Yahweh. We anglicize it. We call it Jehovah. But it's Yahweh in Hebrew. And he says, and Jesus says to him, unless you believe that I am Yahweh. You see, that's an amazing thing here, what he's talking about here. You got to believe that Jesus Christ is who he is if you ever want to get off the right exit. You got to be careful with this. So many people say, oh, I believe Jesus was a great prophet. I believe Jesus is a wonderful philosopher. I believe Jesus was a good teacher. I believe Jesus was a moral example. That won't get you off the right exit. That'll get you off the wrong exit. You got to believe Yahweh. I am. You see, that is such a theme of this book of John. It's an incredible thing. I mean, the book starts out, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John, over and over again, I want you to sort of hold your place about it. Just, you have to see this in your own Bible. But notice what Jesus says. Go back to John 6 and verse 35. Here, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. He said, but I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the living water. You eat of me or drink of me, you'll never thirst again. Now watch how this goes on. Look at chapter 8. And verse 12, the one we started the beginning of the message with. Jesus then again spoke and said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the light of this world. You follow me, you won't be in darkness anymore. You'll live in the light. Chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone comes through me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. You want to be saved, you come through the door. That door is me. He's not finished, though. Chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus speaking. He said to her, he said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? You see, I am the resurrection. I am eternal life. I mean, he has said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door by which people must be saved. I am, he says, the resurrection and the life. Chapter 14 and verse 6. Certainly appropriate for the metaphor that I'm using for the sermon. 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. What a statement, huh? What a statement. I mean, in chapter 15, it says, I am the vine, and apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, if Jesus Christ isn't who he claims to be, he's a lunatic. He's making statements here that no good moral teacher, no real mere man would ever make. Notice what he says. I am the bread of life. You come to me, you'll never hunger. I'm the light of the world. You will walk in light forever if you come to me. I am the door. If you pass through me, you'll be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the vine, and apart from me, you can do nothing. These are incredible statements. Now back to the text. What Jesus Christ is saying to them is really clear. Unless you believe that I am. You want to exit and go to heaven when you die? Then what you have to do is believe Jesus Christ is who Jesus Christ is. And Jesus Christ has done what Jesus Christ has done. It's as simple as that. And by the way, just because people say Jesus Christ doesn't mean anything. Muslims will say Jesus Christ is a prophet, a great prophet. He's just not the last prophet. Muhammad is. Mormons will say that Jesus Christ is Lucifer's brother. Jehovah's Witnesses will say Jesus Christ is the Archangel Michael, but he's not God. And Jesus, I can tell you something. You can say that about Jesus Christ, but I'm going to tell you this. You'll die in your sins. That's not my words. That's the words of Jesus Christ. You will die in your sins. You will exit. Everybody does, but you will not be on the exit that goes to heaven. You'll take a different exit. You'll end up being in a place you don't want to be. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. You must believe that Jesus Christ is who Jesus Christ is. It's an astounding assertion. You can miss heaven by being self-righteous. You can miss heaven by putting your confidence in this world. You can miss heaven if you don't believe who Jesus Christ is, or is who he says he is.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.